Hey, listeners, this is Chef Patrick Mosier here on the Reliable Bud Kitchen Show on Purple Haze Radio. You know, it's nice to be back. It's nice to be back in studio. I've missed you all. I'm sure you miss me, too. But, you know, as you know, we talk about, the medicinal properties of hemp, you know, the medicinal properties of marijuana, but specifically how you can incorporate that into your food. All right. And today we have some really great guests out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. These gentlemen are from cloud9meals.com. We got Brandon. He's one of the co-founders and co-owner. We got Daniel. He's the executive chef and co-founder with sporting some really cool glasses, by the way.
Thank you.
And we got Troy Jones, who's the marketing and branding guru, as well as a co-founder of the company. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Fantastic. You're wonderful.
All right, well, you guys have to share that mic here.
Great. Hello.
Hello.
Pretend you like each other. So you know, I appreciate you guys coming over here to Purple Haze and talking to us here at Reliable Bud. If you guys don't know who Reliable Bud is, check it out. Just download the app for free. We're basically a networking for cannabis professionals and connoisseurs, proponents of the industry. So you go check it out. You figure it out for yourself. It's pretty self-explanatory. So, gentlemen, Cloud 9 Meals, all right? A, we're in a state where this is not legal.
Yes.
So, well, look, I mean, I know you guys are aware. So, Nico Murillo was kind enough to introduce me to you. You know, she's got, what is her company called?
Bocana, right?
And she's one of the first people to actually present a full business plan to the state. I mean, she's got like a 1,200-page document, something ridiculous.
Right. Mm. Super ballsy.
Oh, yeah. She's a smart young lady, and she kind of scares me a little bit. She's so smart. But she was a research chef, and then, you know, because of some health things, she started smoking again, and she became a, you know, big advocate. And she's so behind your product. So let's go through the, Brandon, you're a vet, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So, you were in the Army?
I went Army, Operation Iraqi Freedom. Mm-hmm. We actually left from Korea and went to the war over there in Iraq. And, from there, you know, I sustained an injury, came home, to San Antonio. And that is where I went through a lot of rehabilitation, and I put me on a lot of opioids.
And as we all know, that's a terrible epidemic all across the country right now. Terrible.
Yes, right? With the whole veteran community, you know, it's very terrible. And I just seen all the pain and the symptoms that, you know, I received from even the opioids and taking those pills that they were prescribing me. You know, I just couldn't function. So that's what I suffer from. And I just turned back to the cannabis because I couldn't function in those areas of just regular everyday activities.
Yeah, and I know. So the VA actually can't even prescribe, well, because it's not a prescription based. You know, there's no medical grounds for prescribing. But even CBDs, right?
Nothing. You can't even talk to your primary care doctor about any outside.
Traditional
medicine, mm-hmm. You know, this so frowned upon. And so from there, if you do get caught up on with the THC in your system, you are not prescribed the medicine or the opioid. So it's an either or. So you either have to go against the system or just be a rebel all the way around.
Yeah, so, well, or you go with the system and don't get treated, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, and it's a shame because, as we all know, there are so many great properties to look. There are people that overuse, right? Man, I got guys that worked on the line for me. I was 30 years in the kitchen. I had guys be, you know, they'd work a double, right? Hey, chef, I'm going to leave for an hour on break. I'm going to go get my head straight. It's like, dude, you really don't come back all doped up for the second shift.
You cut the tip of your finger off.
And look, I know you aren't going to do that, but you're so slow. Come on, man. And you're getting orders wrong. And you're laughing about it. I can't do that. But on the other side of this coin, I have no problem with recreational use. What you do on your own time is your own freedom, right?
Yes.
And I am an occasional recreational user. But the medicinal properties are really where I think the huge benefits lie. There's a bunch of research in Israel and Canada. I mean, look, Canada went fully national nationwide, right?
Just a little while ago.
Yeah. And that's a big deal. That's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Exactly.
But, you know, so you founded this company. I mean, so Who were the brains that brainstormed one day where you're all sitting around smoking a blunt that decided you were going to do this?
Well, let me tell you like that story because, right. I mean, it was like, so I
keep,
met.
Keep, yeah, keep yeah, the mic closer.
I there. Met Dan Yu's girlfriend. I hired her for a advertising shoot.
Okay.
I've got a small advertising agency, so my background is in advertising and marketing. And so we were doing what I think it was Witch. I hate to say Witch online, but
that's okay. No, hey, look, hey, no, when hey, hey, look, go support, hey, go support Witch when you
yeah. right, yeah.
Next time you spark go, up, go just go right down the street and get yourself order, a sandwich. Go order so Witch is good.
Witch is great, right? Yeah. So we were shooting Witch, and
wait, disclaimer: they are no way affiliated with this program nor the topic we're talking about. Okay, back.
And so at the end, his girlfriend was like, "Hey, Troy, do you smoke?" It's really strange how some people that smoke can sort of gravitate towards each other without even knowing. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's
well,
like
to be fair, my girlfriend is extraordinarily bold with that kind of stuff. And it's played off negative a couple of times. She's lucked out, especially with you.
She lucked out.
But there have been
me.
Some negative instances.
So we went outside. We sparked up one. We had a good conversation. She's a photographer, by the way. And she said, "You know what? My boyfriend is a food scientist." And I was like, "A food scientist?" I was like, that's interesting. And she's like, yeah, you should meet him one day and maybe, some ideals will spark from that. Right. I was like, okay, that's cool. I say, can you bring him over the house and let's have a taste session or something, right? That's what he can cook
dinner.
Up.
Because, amen, the way to my heart and my wallet is through my stomach.
An infused right. dinner, so they came over. They nice. Made a great infused dinner for us.
And CBD, butter. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Oh wait,
yes,
no,
CBD.
You were in California at that time, weren't you?
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, I was. Yeah,
this was
they flew all the way to California for this. You know, it was really awesome. Yeah, but yeah, that's how I met Daniel.
Delicious.
And it was from that moment. It's been like, hey, you know what? Hey, let's try to create a company with this.
Right. And our initial input from it was when we were having the dinner. We were talking about what was the easiest way to incorporate CBD and THC, because we were in California, into the food. if you were just a regular person, right? If you were just a regular person, you don't have any culinary background. Because I want to be able to cook for people or introduce products for people who don't want to cook all the time. So, we originally were talking about oils and stuff, doing like a package of various oils,
seasonings.
Yeah, exactly. So you like finishing oils. Mm-hmm. Olive oil and canola and things like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's some great stuff out there. People are doing that right now. And you can, a lot of people try to make it at home. It's great. You know, sometimes you overheat or, you and again, here's one of the issues with home cooks, right, is we tend to not know the dose we're getting because we don't send our stuff off for testing.
Right.
We make a batch. There's a formula. Yes, you can guesstimate it, but you don't really know.
Yeah, totally. It depends on the strain.
Mm-hmm. And then how you
cook it and how hot you go and if you decarb it
and how old it was and, if it oxidized, if it turned to THC, if it turns to CBD or CBN as opposed to THCA, THC when you heat it, but then if it over-oxidizes, you get CBN. And,
exactly.
You get all these crazy things that happen that people don't understand. So your dose is higher or lower. And then are you using a real tablespoon or just kind of your big soup type tablespoon
you use for cereal, right? Recipes, just a handful,
exactly.
Right?
So so now you're talking about developing a company that would deliver these wonderful healthful products to people that needed them, and you decided to go a different direction. How? Or are you still doing it that way as a finishing oil with your meals? Is that the best way to infuse?
Let's continue that story. Mm-hmm. So for about a year, we sort of lost touch with Daniel, and every now and then I'll talk to Kathy and see how she was doing with her photography. And then in the meantime, I ran into Brandon, and Brandon was like, "Hey man, we need to jump on this, this medical marijuana. We need to do something, figure something out." And I'm like, "Okay, that's cool. Let me call Daniel." So we reached back out to Daniel.
Nice.
Go ahead. And in the meanwhile, I was still doing those infused meals. It was just, Troy and I just hadn't reconnected back up yet. So in that year amount of time, our kind of priorities when it came to food had changed. So instead of these finishing oils, instead of having a product that you add to the end of your own food, just cut the middleman out, make the food yourself, right?
Absolutely.
So that way you have a finished product, start to finish. People just have to buy it, and it's theirs, right? Snacks, meals, whatever.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Yeah. Hey, man, get right in there. So we got four people and only three mics, and I don't share mine because mine's stationary. So you know, you want, it's like me being the youngest of five children. You want to eat or talk? Just get right in there, man. Don't hesitate. So as that went forward, then what was the next step? How did you guys? Texas does have some medical that's legalized, right?
Yes.
So it's for two diagnosed. You have to. It's for one of two. Yeah, so there's ailments. A special type of epilepsy and another type of seizure ailment, and you have to have two concurring physicians that give you the same diagnosis. And again, so we'll talk about this. The ratio of CBD to THC has to be 10 to 1, so 10 milligrams CBD to 1 milligram THC, and right now there's only two grows in the state, right? There's one in Schulenburg, and I don't know where the other one is near that area.
Yes.
And you know, people are bitching because they brought in some out-of-state growers, but look, these guys knew what they were doing. They could do exactly what the state required,
right.
And it was a turnkey project for us to get our foot in the door here. So, you know, yes, was I disappointed at first, but now I think about it, they got us on the path faster. So,
right. We didn't want somebody from.
Yeah. So now as we progress, obviously we're going to have these medical, the ability to, for them to prescribe medical marijuana on a broader basis.
Yes.
I really hope that first and foremost is vets, because I'm telling you,
yes,
for pain management,
yes,
anxiety disorders,
yes,
other stress-related things,
yes,
it is the number one, I think the easiest treatment. A, you can't overdose on it.
Yes.
You can do stupid things and still kill yourself, but you can't physically overdose on it. I think that's the next thing to go. So now here you are. You got this great business plan. You got people like Nico Murillo out there with Bocana. You guys are all prepared and ready to go. So what's next? So you're all kind of in this holding pattern.
So one of the main things that you mentioned, we want to get out here and advocate to the veterans, advocate to the public of the medicinal effects and how CBD can be used for any types of ailments. So that
We can talk about the THC aspect too. It is because look, there are different medicinal aspects to
exactly.
each, right?
Exactly.
There's a great chart. If you haven't seen it out there, it's actually a graph. It's just a graph, right? That shows all of the cannabinoids, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what their medicinal properties are.
Yes.
And then typically which plant they're found in.
Yes.
But it's unbelievable that now there's like, they found 200 cannabinoids. Right. Almost 300, right?
Looking this morning, I saw 285.
That's crazy.
That's
hilarious. Crazy. You know, we really know about THC, THCA, which the body makes.
Right.
THC is after it after you heat it. And then, you know, CBG is what it turns into. Our CBN is what it turns into.
Yes.
After that, you get CBD, which is in all of those, but also primarily in hemp and higher. Here, go ahead. Go ahead and grab that one.
Yeah, TACV. Is there
there's 200 and some.
Pick an acronym, man. It's probably in.
Yeah. ABC.
Right.
Man, that reminds me. I lived in Japan for a long time, and we brought a bunch of students to New York City to go to FIT there.
Yes.
They were from the Osaka School of Interior and Fashion Design, or Kansai School of Fashion Design. And so we went. I was one of the chaperones. I taught English there one day a week, and for a buddy of mine, I was covering for him. And I remember going through, we were in Soho and we were walking around, they got these little t-shirt guys selling them on the streets. I bought their shirts ABCDEFUCK. I'm like, I'm thinking, I'll bet all those acronyms are actually in there somewhere. I have not thought about that t-shirt in at least 25 years.
Right.
So back to the story. So you guys are in this holding pattern now, but we have a lot of advocates in the state, right?
Yes.
And not just for veterans, but there's a huge push for the veterans to have access. So where are we in the process of, I mean, what's your guys' timeline? I know you guys are looking, you said brick and mortar by for end of first quarter next year, maybe?
Yes.
At least having the physical structure up and running?
Yes. Like I said, right now we're really trying to educate the public on the medicinal effects and how these infused meals can actually help patients. So we are collaborating with people like Nico and a couple more.
Nico, she was a food scientist with PepsiCo for a long time.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Which, fun fact, by the way, I also was a food scientist with PepsiCo.
Is that how you did? Okay.
I did not actually know that. I learned that just
yeah, so she was there for like 8 years, I think.
Yeah, I used to work in the Frito-Lay lab with...
Yeah, so
maybe with her at some point in time.
I don't even know. I met her randomly. I was sitting with a gentleman. I was having a cup of coffee. And no, actually, no, she reached out to me on LinkedIn. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And then I started talking to him. I was looking for him for funding. So, but then we just ended up doing a show for Purple Haze, and she's just been a fantastic resource for us. So, So, anyway, so now, where are we at this? So, what's the next? What is the next 6 months, year?
Okay, so yeah, like you said, so the next 6 months, we're still we have some cooking demos. We're collaborating with our advocates, and we're doing some shows, some cooking shows, and at some different events and some cannabis. Different conferences we're doing as well. Chef Daniel's going to be on display showing you how to cook.
Woo-hoo, on display.
Right up there like a piece of meat.
He's up for auction, baby.
Yeah.
This is Amsterdam.
Right.
This is
auction. Well, so he will be giving his expertise in those areas of how to cook with CBD.
Right. Nice. So with our timeline, you know, education is just as much as part of our business plan as setting up shop is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So within the next, you know, 4 to 6 months, give or take, depending on legislation with this upcoming election, we're just going to be pile driving the public with knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. The biggest factor that's going to be holding back CBD and THC later on in the future is people just not knowing about how it works, what its properties are, how to work with it, how it can
also
help you.
How not to kill it when you're cooking with it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, don't saute with it.
Well, I mean, CBD. So CBDs, you can only get up to about, you know, 350, 365, 370 is the max. So you want to bake it like 340. You get a softer product. But, you know, I mean, there's ways around it.
Right.
But a lot of people, you're right, they don't know. And so you don't want to kill the benefits of the product.
Exactly. Like if you go to the grocery store and you buy a $20 bottle of olive oil, you're not going to sear steaks with it. Right, you're just going to smoke up your kitchen. It's going to be awful. Some people do, obviously, but that's what we're trying to educate against. Right, CBD is just like any other oil; gives you healthy benefits, you know, more so. But you got to know how to work with it, and that's our initial, even before brick and mortar, even before setting out the first product. Education is numero uno.
Absolutely. So if you're just joining us, I'm Chef Patrick Mosier from the Reliable Bud Kitchen. We are here with the founders, co-founders, executive chef, marketing and branding expert from Cloud9 Meals. We got Brandon, Daniel, and Troy Jones. And so we're in this holding pattern. We're going to start just throwing out this educational stuff. Where are some of the places they're going to see you? What are these seminars? What are some of the events coming up that you have? Go ahead.
You should know about the events a little bit more than I do, but there's an event that we're going to have. It's December the 5th here in Dallas, I believe, downtown. What's the name of the event?
Capital Factory.
So that should be a great event, and we're thinking about having Chef Rocky there on display. Again, you know, so...
My last name is Rocky, by the way, just, you know, for... the cat's out of the bag, guys.
Oops.
Here you go.
Oops.
We usually call him Chef Rocky. It just sounds pretty cool.
So, it does sound cool.
You know, Chef Rocky, you know.
Does he have a side of beef hanging in the locker in there?
So I was gonna get
breaking the ribs, man.
Those are some of the things. I mean, that's one of the things that we really want to do is have him there at the event on display to showcase his experience. And those are one of the things. Another thing is that Chef Rocky is also in the test kitchen right now. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to...
Yeah, because I know. So our listeners are like, give me a damn recipe.
Yeah.
We'll get there, folks. You got to listen to the end.
It's coming.
We save the dessert till the end, okay? Right. So you got 40 more minutes. Hang in there.
Right.
Well, we're not going anywhere, so you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, he's in the test kitchen right now, coming up with a few menu ideals and recipes and stuff like that, so that we're really excited about.
Hey, man, if there's any way I can get involved and help out, seriously, I've been a chef for 30 years. I work for Nobu.
Right.
We actually designed and got the funding for Morimoto's restaurant in Bangkok. It just closed, unfortunately, after 2 years, but we didn't operate it, so I'm okay with that. But yeah, I mean, I've opened like 38 restaurants in 30 years. So
awesome.
That'll do it.
And I'm kind of a aside from this, I'm a restaurant consultant and chef consultant. So,
I'm
all about that. And not that you need my help, you know, at being. So, are you a certified CRC?
Yes.
Oh, see, that's awesome. So, this whole research chef thing that's come about, people have just started learning about like the last 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shit. I'm telling you what that is. I'm serious.
You know, my graduating class was less than 150 people.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, just speaking on the top of the mic. I got you.
Sorry. Yeah, there you go.
That's okay.
My graduating class was super small, and usually the result that I get when I tell people, you know, I'm a food scientist, right? What the hell is that? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Right?
This is the first thing I said.
You see anything in a package, on a shelf, in a jar, in a bottle?
Somebody
created that.
Right. Yeah.
Formulated that, came up with a gold standard recipe.
Exactly.
I like the jargon of the industry. Sorry, man. I'm going to be all geeky about food in the industry, but... you know, people don't realize how much time, effort, love, and other stuff that you don't want in your food goes into your food, right?
Right.
You know, we are so far removed from what we eat on our table or what we buy on the shelves. You know, people say, well, we're such a gluttonous society. Well, when you don't have to harvest an animal, you don't have to kill the animal, right? And you only have 5 head of cattle, you got to kill one. Where you're gonna have beef for you know,
couple months,
dinner every night? No, you're gonna have beef once a week. You're gonna have chicken 2 nights a week. You're gonna have nothing, maybe fish that you caught one night a week, and
right.
You're not gonna have
and
any protein one
beans,
night a week.
Yeah.
But you know, and how many people out there have raised a garden? How many people have had a 10x10 plot where they do some little intensive gardening? So we are so far removed from the effort that it takes to put food on our table that I really believe. That's where this gluttonous behavior comes from. And it's not
right.
just us. It's all over the world.
It's a lack of knowledge.
It is. It's a lack of knowledge. And look, it's very inexpensive to buy food. It's relatively inexpensive. It's probably cheaper than raising your food in a lot of instances, except
right.
maybe tomatoes and a couple other things that really grow fast and are really fruitful on the vine. So you know, with that, I mean, man, folks, when you're eating, slow down.
Right.
Slow down.
Enjoy it.
Right.
You know? Because how you do anything is how you do everything. And the girl sitting across from the table, you, were you shoving chips in your mouth, is going to think, that's how he makes love. Fast and sloppy.
Right.
All right.
Well, I work for PepsiCo, which owns Frito-Lay. So
we have a few spectators over here laughing.
Right.
I had to tell that joke on their behalf. So.
Right. And that was PepsiCo's whole MO, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, you want to make sure that product is as addictive and as you can eat it as fast as humanly possible.
Well, you know, and to their credit, like junk food didn't, I mean, fast food, junk food,
right.
it started because of a cost factor, right? It just became an addictive behavior that we identified that now we feed on and prey on, especially in food deserts and, you know, underprivileged neighborhoods. We're not going to talk about all that because
sure.
we could go on for days and we've got 36 minutes left. So, you know, we could do a double segment here, but we'll stick to one. But, you know, so with this, I mean, when you're talking about providing these meals, now obviously you're not just going to throw some frozen, modified food starch, congealed
right.
rice,
right.
You know, with a little bit of tincture in it in the freezer, and then send
right.
that off to somebody. We're talking CBD tincture. It's all good, man. Whatever,
exactly.
you know. But
yes.
but I mean, that's not what you're doing. So you're doing these true, you know, craft. Home cooked style meals, right?
Right.
So, can you give me an example of what maybe some of the stuff you might? If you don't want to let the cat out of the bag, it's all cool, but it'd be nice to know.
Well, so we're planning on having a couple different. We're planning on attacking it in a couple different ways. So, our first line that it's main meals is going to be mostly seasonal,
mm-hmm.
right? People are looking towards this kind of, you know, like if you're eating a tomato in the middle of winter. It's like you got to understand what you're going to get is going to be a lot different from 6 months down the road.
Packer tomatoes are called Packer tomatoes for a reason.
Right. So so our main meal line is going to be seasonal. So right now, asparagus is coming in strong. So right now you'd see something like a wood-fired salmon filet.
Ooh.
Garlic and red chili pepper flake asparagus, maybe a wild rice pilaf. And then on top of it, you'd have a clarified butter or a ghee that's clarified butter or ghee, maybe with a little bit of roasted shallot, maybe with a little bit of green onion and chive in it on top.
Oh, man, can I tell you, being able to buy ghee in the grocery store is like God's gift.
Right. Yeah. I know.
And home cooked. But, home. So if Barry White were here, he'd be going, oh, yeah. Because that sounds really good right there.
Right.
Man.
But
that
like I
really
said,
good.
Yeah, right. Well, like I said, but 3-4 months down the road, the whole thing's going to be different, you know? When you're going in the spring and you're getting something totally different, right? And it'll follow the same vein. You know, you're going to mm-hmm. try and get a protein, a vegetable, a starch, and a sauce. And typically the sauce will have whatever tincture, oil, whatever in it.
So with that then, are you talking about delivery? Is this a home delivery service? Is this going to start regional and then expand? Or is this a...
You
don't have to give me your whole business model because
some things, of course, are still in the works.
I'm a pretty smart and crafty guy,
no,
so don't
cool.
tell me everything.
You've been in the business for 30 years, you understand.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
No,
and I've been a private chef.
I
opened one of the first home meal delivery services. Actually, it's called BringDinnerHome.com in 2001
uh-huh.
with a great guy, Dr. Stephen Hollingshead in Houston. The thing is, the geographic location we had to cover to deliver that number of meals was just too great. We didn't have there's no density of population where we started. Stupid. But it, I'm telling you what, man, it was awesome. We hand-trimmed, cryovac, prepared everything the night you ordered it. It was delivered the next day. And here, I'll give you something here.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually leased you one of those little dorm-style refrigerators for $8 a month. with a key on the outside. Right. We put an E key to install in your garage, so we can get in out of your garage or wherever you wanted to put that thing.
Right.
So you didn't have to be there. We could deliver it without you being there.
The Amazon cloud camera, right?
Yeah. For $14 worth of food, you're going to carry that damn thing off and see somebody? No. I mean, you know, it was a great business model, I'm telling you. And we actually made the money from the delivery charge. We didn't make any money on the food. It was a break even. So he was trying to reverse the damage that McDonald's had done. McDonald's a great corporation. They built this empire around the world, but they turned dining into feeding. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Unfortunately. And whatever. They didn't do it on purpose. It just happened that way.
We allowed it to happen.
We did. Right. Like, we're all sheeple. Some of that's being worked out. Again, if you want some help. I mean, my time is free. We'll just talk and throw some ideas around. Mm-hmm. I'll give you any information I have. But so once that's figured out logistically, so will people order weekly, daily, probably weekly or?
Yeah, we're thinking weekly that people will be coming to us weekly. Mm-hmm. Weekly, yes. Mm-hmm. I think weekly. I think the way we kind of saw this is that we were going to create meals for veterans, for the medical population, mm-hmm. Just for the general public. But from the military standpoint, we were going to target them basically, mm-hmm. and hopefully set up something through their portals, through these patient portals.
Gotcha. How are you guys trying to work through the VA set up a separate portal system that's adjacent to and in conjunction with that?
We're trying to work through the VA, so we want to be a part of the VA. So we're. When the VA needs, someone to come and supply meals for their veterans, we're the ones that's doing that, that's carrying that up.
So again, we're here with Cloud9 Meals, the founders, Brandon, co-founder and co-owner, Daniel, he's executive chef and co-founder, and Troy Jones, also co-founder, co-owner, and the marketing and branding guru here. So again, we're talking about these cannabis infused meals, whether it's CBD or THC. The idea is to initially treat military patients, right? Vets especially. Where do people find you? I know. So I went to the website, right? And it says password required. So it's locked. So I couldn't see nothing.
It's secret.
Uh-huh. It's top secret.
Hold it.
We're talking like, you know, top middle of the desert.
Top secret.
In Albuquerque, you know, that. Area nine. Yeah.
Well, you can find us on Instagram, you know, at Cloud9 Meals. Yeah. The website again is.
How can they reach you? If they want to email you, like somebody says, hey man, you know what? We'd like to. How do we collaborate with you and license this in another state and grow your brand?
No, absolutely. They can reach us. They can reach me at troy@cloud9meals.com. They can also Brandon has an email.
Okay.
And Chef Rocky has an email as well, so they can reach us there. They can reach us on Instagram and DM us there that way.
Gotcha.
Because there's a lot of chefs that we are. That follow us on Instagram.
Well, I'm going to start following you as well. And as a matter of fact, I'll get the whole RB team to follow you there. So Cloud9, that's cloud as in cloud in the sky, mm-hmm. nine, the number nine, mm-hmm. meals with an S, .com. So Brandon, Daniel, or Troy, is that it? At cloud9meals.com.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So again. We got these delicious meals coming out. I'm not going to ask you price point because I know that's all seasonal and it's going to vary, right?
For sure.
So once we get the delivery method done, what's the dosage going to look like? Is that going to be on a case-by-case basis, or is this going to be something where it's kind of a standard dose across the board?
Well, for initial starts, when you start putting any CBD or THC later on in the future into any of these products, you have to make sure that whatever you're producing can be standardized so that it can be tested. So typically what we plan on doing is that we're going to make standardized batches per season, typically four throughout the year. And each one of those batches is going to stay at a standard rate. Now, what rate that exactly is going to be, we're not sure of yet. We have to still do a little bit of consumer testing and see. Some doses run high, some doses run low, and we want to make sure that we avoid that we run in the middle every time.
And that's really hard. So that's really hard. You know, I have to tell you, California, Colorado, some of the other states that are legal for rec and or medicinal and or rec, they have done a really good job in the standardizing the dosage. Right, I think Colorado is probably my favorite as far as how they do it. Actually, Mass has done a really good job too, and
But in Colorado, you know, so for the recreational side of things, the max dosage is 10 right. milligrams and then 100 per unit or, you know, per package. So 10 times 10 is the max you can get. On the medicinal side, though, it's 40 milligrams per dose, and I think right. it's still 10 per package. So, you know, I'm sure you're going to be somewhere in that range. You're talking medicinal to start out. So, you know, what do you recommend for the home cook? What do they start at? You know, the basic 10 milligram?
I would actually probably, if you're inexperienced with mm-hmm. it, go lower.
Yeah, five.
There's
yeah.
absolutely no issue in going lower if you have just five or even, you know, some people are even more sensitive to that type of stuff. But if you start at five,
you're looking
not
at this old guy like that. Yeah, I mean, you know I'm sensitive. We already talked about that. So, yeah. I wear my heart on my sleeve, dude. Don't do that.
Well, right, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you know, five, you're so weak or whatever. But you're talking from the standpoint of, you know, and this is going to be a lot of people in their early 20s, early 30s. It's like, think about the 60-year-old with arthritis who's starting out,
mm-hmm.
right? He's going to want to start with 5 milligrams and work his way up.
Well, not only
you don't
that,
want to have a bad experience.
Because the, right. the ingestion method is a lot different this way, right? So you're consuming this orally, but it's not staying in the your mouth through the mucous membrane. So it's not, right. it's really slow absorption right through the intestines. In that case, then you don't know what the effect is for right. 20 minutes to an hour. Right?
Everyone has a different bioavailability
exactly.
for it.
Exactly. And depends on what oils are in there, what natural fats are in the food, whether it's salmon or steak or whatever it's with.
And even some research I was reading just a couple weeks ago, gut bacteria.
Yep.
All in your gut have a huge deciding factor towards that.
Oh yeah, so yeah. we talk about having it. So I always get on this health issue, but they're now finding that most people that are treated for gut health disorders, once they treat them, their mood disorders go away because most of the serotonin in your body is created in the gut,
right.
And so yeah.
It's like a one.
I didn't need that Paxil after all. I just needed a health. More yogurt. I needed more yogurt.
Yeah, eat more yogurt, y'all.
Pickles, yogurt.
Yeah, kombucha maybe.
Yeah, oh kombucha. You know, I have never had kombucha.
It's pretty tangy.
It is. Well,
do you ever have apple cider vinegar?
Yeah, it's like so.
It's like that, toned down.
I mean, I've had it, but I don't order it regularly. In mm-hmm. Colorado, they have it everywhere, right? But it's kind of like not just Colorado, everywhere. It's kind of like a sour beer,
right?
Almost, but a little. It's got a little more zing to it.
You get a little zing. You get a little vinegar zing.
Yeah. It's and it's usually really low alcohol, 1 or 2%. But.
Yeah.
So we got these wonderful meals coming. Are you going to have, so is the dessert going to have like CBD as a counteractant to the THC?
Right. So we'd like to put them in equal parts. Mm-hmm. We really believe in the fact that THC and CBD go together.
Hand in hand, balancing act.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's... If you don't want to freak out, you know, if you have too much, and, you know, CBD can help counterbalance that. For the start, though, we're going to be having not so much desserts, but we'll have snacks and baked goods that'll be prevalent all year round.
Yeah, that which makes sense.
Alongside the meals.
They're easy to dose as well by weight
exactly.
and, you know, size. Right. So, I only misbaked a batch of brownies one time because that's all it took.
Yeah.
I was a little twitchy for a little while. Right. I think I ate a... I don't know. I mean, yeah, never mind. We're not going to talk about that. But that, you know, that's really important when you're a home cook, right? So what are some of the precautions you think you need to take? I mean, wear gloves, eh? If you're making butter and stuff, especially, because that stuff goes right through the skin.
It is bioavailable through your skin.
Yes,
and
sir.
And you know, when people are cooking in their own home, you're messy. Mm-hmm. You're messier than you think when you cook in your own home, right? Nobody realizes it, but when you compare your home cooking methods to that of, say, a laboratory cooking method that would be doing the same process, you would never pass any
no.
regulations. What's you got your cat walking around?
Well, I was going to say, because if you're a messy cook when you're making can of butter or something like that at home, your cat or dog will let you know in about 40 minutes because you'll see what's going on with them. You know, when the cat looks like it just came out of the spin cycle of the washing machine, all sprawled out, all four legs out, then I'm sorry. That's a bad joke, and that was just a mental image, folks. But, but seriously,
don't accidentally dose your pets.
I know people that have dosed their pets, and not on purpose, of course, but, you know, you leave the bowl of butter on the counter, and the cat gets up there, and especially if you infuse it with anything else like honey or thyme or anything.
Cats are going to love that stuff.
Hell
man.
Yeah. Well, that, right. we like it, so why wouldn't they? I mean, it's...
They have CBD for pets, right?
So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, there's a lot of confusion about CBDs and what's legal and what's not, you know, and so... You know, the Farm Bill in 2014 that got passed protected, you know, 24 or 34 states to be able to grow hemp, you know, and there's all this stuff. People freaked out when the DEA wrote they put out a public statement stating that no matter what the source of the CBD was, any portion of the marijuana plant whether that was, or I mean, whether that was
stock stems, cannabis,
not just marijuana, cannabis. So whether it was hemp, marijuana, doesn't matter. But yeah, stem, stock, leaf, and seed, all and roots as well. All of it was considered a Schedule I drug. Well, there was a lawsuit the DEA does not write drug policy, right? They just enforce it, and that was not rewritten by the law makers. But a lot of people freaked out. I know, like, Colorado even stopped shipping hemp-based soaps, any kind of topicals. They didn't ship anything for like 4 months because they freaked everybody out. Now, man.
And that's what's going on with Ohio right now. With CBD,
different
vein, but in a similar fashion.
Well, in Indiana, like, they were pulling people over because Indiana is not, I don't think they're protected by the Farm Bill. So people were ordering CBDs, they're consuming them, buying them at head shops, and people were being pulled over with it. And the state troopers were arresting them.
Right.
And the governor actually said, look, this is not THC. This is a non-psychoactive, product, which is beneficial to the body. We are no longer, just leave them alone. There's no reason to be arresting them. There's a lot of confusion about that, folks. Look,
that's why education's so important.
If it's imported and it's only from the stem and the leaf, then it doesn't matter where the source is outside of this country. As long as it's been tested, it can be used in any product and sold in all 50 states. Now, from a legal standpoint, as far as the Farm Bill is concerned, what's produced in that state is supposed to be consumed in that state. However, we all know that's not what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. So just be cautious. Go to a reputable source. There's some big names out there, CW up in Colorado. I'm not advocating for anyone, but there are a lot of great brands out there. Find a good product. And I'll tell you what, I cannot advocate enough for the medicinal properties of CBDs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I really can't. So everybody know I told you all my story. My mom died. My mom died of diabetic coma. My dad died of pancreatic cancer when I was six. Mm-hmm. I've seen people not just go into remission, but I've seen people with tumors that have quit all other treatments. I'll just say I've seen miraculous things occur. I'm not a physician, and nor am I going to say anything that's going to get me in trouble. But it's amazing.
Right.
I take it because I get agitated. Right. I have friends that take it because they can't sleep. Both my children take it. They have a genetic neurological disorder called CMT, Charcot-Marie-Tooth syndrome. So I'm going to go back to Brandon here real quick. So Brandon, when you first looked for treatment, Did you try CBD? Did you try?
Well, when I first looked for treatment, I had already knew because I've tried cannabis in the past.
Really? Really? No, man. So, you don't look like that kind of guy.
We've all tried it in the past, growing up, high school, whatever, smoke a little joint or something like that. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
So
this is outside of Texas, by the way.
It didn't matter back when you were in high school. It didn't matter where you were.
Yeah. So I just knew how these pain medication were making me feel. At one time they prescribed methadone to me. Yes. Coming back from
tablets, I hope. They sell you a glass straw and a razor blade with that.
So I had at one point, I had methadone, Percocet, mm-hmm. you name them, I had that. And I just was like a walking zombie. So my wife was like, you can't function like that. You need to get off that and try something medicinal. So I went back to my cannabis, and unfortunately, it sucks because my doctors cannot prescribe it to me or can't mm-hmm. even talk to me about it.
No, they can't because federal from a federal perspective, they're paid by the feds. They can't.
Exactly. Yeah. However, I had a really wonderful doctor when I first got out. I'm not going to say any names, but we would always discuss when he ran my labs of how the THC or CBD will come up in my reports. Mm-hmm. And he would ask me, how is that working out for you? And I can tell that you haven't been taking any pain medication. And I said, yes.
Because there's no opioids coming up. Exactly.
There's no opioids coming up in my, yes.
You want to know what an epidemic the opioid situation in this country is? So in Puget Sound, off of Seattle, They're finding that the fish are contaminated with opioids.
Right.
And that's because, look, our water treatment system, before it flows out to sea, doesn't take out those impurities. It treats for other bacterial impurities, but it doesn't take out medicinal impurities. And people, you're urinating it out.
Yes.
It also gets dumped in the toilet when people don't use it. And so that's actually, now they're finding high levels of opioids in fish, and it's the population's kind of toxic right now. Not just kind of, it's becoming very toxic, especially in the larger fish. And so you want to think about, you really don't think this is an epidemic? The fish are toxic off the coast of Seattle.
Right.
So think about that. The fish in Puget Sound are toxic.
Yes.
I mean, how much further does this have to go before we look at alternative treatments for pain and for other debilitating, symptoms of injury and ailments? I mean, before we just realize that there is an easier, less toxic, less addictive, safer method to treat people.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
If there is a natural alternative that works better than a synthetic version, why would you not choose that?
Well, and most synthetic versions are all derived from a natural
source.
I mean, look at statins, red rice.
Right.
The hull of the red rice, and
didn't the feds just approve a CBD, I think Epidiolex?
Okay, so here's what happened with that. So they say there's no medicinal properties of CBDs, right? So this pisses me off. I'm going to get on my high freaking horse for a minute. I'm going to stand on my soapbox. I'm going to pretend I'm on the south side of Hyde Park in London, and I get my 2 minutes to talk, all right? So CBDs, they used to be in the diet. Because it was really cheap to grow. It's the oldest cultivated plant we know, almost 4,000 years. So what they used to do in the United States, you could pay your taxes in hemp, right? You know that. You could pay it in hemp stock, fiber. But the leaf, right, was really original use. So we used to cut it off and feed it to the cattle. They've been doing that in Europe for decades and centuries. So we did the same thing here. So now you have this a very concentrated level of CBDs in the beef and other, cattle that we ate. So you would consume that, and your body produces CBD naturally. Most of us don't produce enough. So you kind of had this natural supplement through the beef that we ate. Now come, the marijuana ban, the whole, the whole scare with the stupid movie that we all know, so this comes in 1937, 1938, in the 30s. And then, of course, they ban cannabis altogether. And then they briefly come back. They allow us to grow it during World War II because we can't produce enough cotton fast enough to, make the uniforms we need. So they allow us very quickly to do it. And then they ban it. They shut it down once again. So now we have the CBD deficiency, which nobody knows. Nobody even knew what CBDs were or what they did. But you can't grow it to feed your animals. It's more expensive to grow cotton and other food crops as well. In 12 weeks, you get something 20 feet tall. Which with an 80% yield,
right?
You tell me any other crop in the world that gives you that. There's nothing, right? So, we have all these wonderful medicinal properties of CBDs. The government, and look, I'm not anti-government, I don't want to get onto that, but it is a money game. So they say there's no medicinal, we'll get back to this point, no medicinal properties for CBDs. Then why 3 years ago did they issue two or three years ago, they issued two research patents for synthetic CBDs? Why in God's name would you need synthetic CBDs if there's no medicinal property to CBDs to begin with that the federal government will admit? And now there's one that's going to come to market because they just approved one, right?
Yeah,
through trials.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's synthetic.
Is that one synthetic?
Oh, well, that may not be, but they have two in the works that are synthetic.
Right, synthetic.
Right? So what in the world are they trying to pull? And if there's no medicinal properties, then how can they grant this? How can they have somebody bring it to market?
I have no clue.
Right. I mean,
it's a money game, right?
Well, because right now it's considered a supplement. So I don't know. Anyway, so back to food. Let's talk about food for a while. Yeah. Our listeners, so everybody here has got a favorite meal, right? What's your favorite meal? All right, we're going to talk to Brandon. Hand Brandon the mic real quick. All right, Brandon, what's your favorite meal?
I'm a seafood guy.
You're a seafood guy.
Yeah, so I like everything from the sea.
All right. So I'm kind of a seafood guy, too. You seafood, you eat it, man. I'm telling you, the never trust to see any chef thing. It was only that way because we can't say no to food, and we have nothing else to live for.
Yeah.
It's like late nights, long hours, every night, holiday,
weekend.
It's
the only source of happiness, man.
Right?
Don't take that from me.
You know how many nights you go? So there's like 18 things you don't know about chefs unless you are one or dated one or something like that.
Yeah.
And it talks about at the end of the night, there will be lots of television watching with the volume. There will be lots of beer drinking and watching of television with the volume off.
Right.
I'm telling you, you don't know how many nights I went home, turned the TV on, hit the mute button, opened a beer, and fell asleep on the couch after two sips, sitting upright, never spilled a beer. But just that silence, man. There's something golden about the silence. But, so seafood, you got a favorite seafood? Like, are you like a sea bass rich kind of a guy? Or are you like a shrimp or
well, I like
you know,
the shrimp,
or
the lobster. Actually, while I was in the military, though, I've traveled a lot of different places, such as Korea. So I like a lot of different Asian cuisines. And just I like the way you can actually take some seafood or you can cook it any type of fashion, you know.
Well, yeah. So what's great about seafood? Especially the neutral flavored fish. Sea bass seems to be really oily, and people think it's really overpowering. But depending on what you put on it, completely changes the flavor of that fish. And there are some sauces like so at Nobu, he has a thing called new sauce. It's basically it's yuzu and soy, in a you know just a special at the right blend. But depending on what you put that on. It has a completely different flavor on salmon than it does on, you know, halibut, than it does on shrimp, than it does on sea bass. I mean, it's amazing how the flavor has changed based on your cooking method, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so, all right, chef, we're going to ask you now, what's a recipe we can do with, say, we already did salmon, right?
Right.
What's something we could do with shrimp? Ooh, scampi.
Yeah, scampi. Anything with a cream sauce. Mm-hmm. Cream is super high in fats. It's very easily infusible. Right?
Okay, so scampi, we're talking, so you make your can of butter, right?
You make your can of butter.
Can of butter, or you make
You can even make can of cream, right?
Oh, yes, you could, man. That's
right. And that's
we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that. That'd be my dish right here. We're talking about that.
Right.
So, and not the can of cream, but the dish made from that. So we're going to go all out Alfredo. So, so basically you could take your can of butter, and if you want to do something different, as chefs, we call it what's called infused butters, flavored butters, right?
Compounds.
So compound butters. So we take a butter and we basically take other ingredients like chopped garlic, orange, zest, shallots, you name it. Shallot is really like garlic, shallot, and parsley is like the traditional.
That's the breadwinner,
man. Exactly. Yeah. So, and that's, we finish every steak, a lot of seafood with that. But basically it's unlimited with that. So if you want something sweeter to put over, you know, like a chicken is good, savory, sweet. So you could do something that's like cinnamon, orange, and you could even put garlic or something else in that. Right. But that's something you could finish chicken with, or even a steak if you wanted to.
Right. I did 3 or 4 days ago, cayenne blackberry sauce. Right.
Oh, man.
And you can put that on basically anything, but it would work great with chicken.
Yeah. So when you do that, then again, just you know, look up compound butters. Look up compound butter, what the definition is, and think of how your flavor. Because look, can of butter can be a little overpowering depending on what strain you're using and what the, you know, how hefty you make it. Because, you know, we all got our different. Is it 8 hours in the crock butter, 16 hours in the crock pot, you know? It's true, right? It's true.
And I'm gonna change it. It'll get a little grassy on you.
Yes, it will. So, but you can do some things to kind of cover that out. So compound butters are one. And then, look, by the weight of what you get and the weight of what you put in there and your percentage of THC, then you determine what the size of pat should be for 5 milligrams, right?
Right.
So favorite food. We're going to Troy now.
Thai food. I love foods from Thailand. So Thai food is my favorite. So I love the spices. I love the flavors.
My favorite restaurant I ever opened was a place called High Ricky Asian Cafe up in Denver. They were based out of Chicago, and they did this Thai street style food. They had one in Bucktown. They had one right next to Harpo Studios, and they had a third one. But, man, these guys, they were kick-ass, I'm telling you. The guys, John, the guy that taught me how to cook Thai food, you know, they got the big woks where you wear a hole. You operate the flame with your
like
knee.
A jet engine underneath
it. Those are like 30,000 BTUs per burner. And so... Oh, man.
Yep.
But I could see how that would be easy to infuse. So you could make like a pad Thai sauce, which is basically just, you know, you got tamarind and a little bit of sugar and lime and some other flavorings in there. And you could take that and you could infuse that with, if you want to do something where you actually could really do the dose, you can get an oil or an extract, just a straight extract, and put that in there. And that would mask really well with the flavor, especially since you add some peanuts and other stuff to that at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Thai food's great to add that stuff into, because all the flavors are super heavy. What I would see, maybe like a pad ki mao, right? Mm-hmm. Take your bell pepper and take a little pot of oil, right? Or take a little pot of sesame oil.
All right, so all the listeners, they're hearing the volume get a little louder, sorry. A little softer. No. So here's the thing. I have to keep I do a motion like to push the mic a little closer to your mouth. Guys have this aversion to putting something that looks so phallic up close to their mouth. All right, I just got to be honest. We do. It's a natural. It's just a habit. Like, we want to look cool. It looks kind of stupid having it right up there next to your mouth. You're like, okay, we'll talk back here. But anyway.
Yeah, if I could just wear like a horse muzzle, you know, it just keeps it right here. That'd be great.
I'm going to come up with, we're going to call it the mic guard or anti-phobia, you know.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad nobody's in here filming. So back to.
Right. Take a little bit of sesame oil, put some chopped, really rough chopped, don't have to worry about it almost at all. Red bell pepper, put it in there, put the heat on low, and let it go for like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Right, the bell pepper is going to start to break down. Their cellular structure won't. Mm-hmm. So they'll start to soak in that sesame oil. And if you do infused sesame
oil... So it breaks down first, then it becomes a sponge after, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So the cell wall doesn't particularly break down. The cellulose in it softens slightly, but actually
becomes
helps.
Absorbent, yeah.
Right. And if you're infusing and you want to kind of avoid that harsher flavor that you might get from infusing, sesame oil is the way to go. Sesame oil is as strong as they come.
Well, sesame, so you talk about a way to mask flavor right there. Right. I didn't think about that. And the smoke point on sesame oil is pretty high.
Stupid high.
Yep. Yeah. So,
There you go. So you probably still wouldn't want to, I'm not actually sure on that. If you infuse sesame oil and then.
Did you really say infuse with bell pepper?
Well, I mean, you put bell pepper in, it would go infused into the bell pepper. Sesame oil. Right. You know what I'm talking about.
You get it. I know. I'm just, Well, look, we are in Texas, so we got to be. Nah, nobody's waiting to track us down to Haltom City. Oh, wait, Diane. Oh, no. Daniel's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Hey, good thing you left that corporate job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So that's a good idea. So, using an oil that has a naturally strong flavor, because we tend to choose neutral flavors, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we've all been doing coconut oil and some other simple oils and olive oils, but. Really, I mean, one of the things we're really trying to do, to some extent, is mask the flavor. Right. So I, as a chef, I'm really about maintaining the integrity of the food, right? And making sure that what we put on the plate is what we really envision in our mind from a taste perspective. So for me, you know, we just talked about my meal, man. I think you got to go with the short ribs and some nice slow braised short ribs. But I think you actually just infuse the braising liquid.
Right, make a demi-glace out of it, right?
And then just reduce that down after. Oh man!
Yeah, I think I've made short ribs from this before. I did like a red wine.
Hey guys, hint: you can't screw up short ribs as long as you don't burn them in the pan.
Right. So you really can't go too slow.
Leave it at 350 in the oven. Put it in a Dutch oven, heavy cast iron pat. Sear them first. Throw in your ingredients: red wine, your beef stock, you know, thyme, garlic, all that stuff in there. Man, John George von Gerichten has the best recipe for ribs ever. I'm telling you what, John George, I stole your recipe. Yeah, and now we're going to infuse it.
The new age.
But I think that would be a really good way to go. Or maybe if, I guess maybe you could finish that maybe with an infused demi or something. So you take the sauce off. Don't infuse the sauce while you're cooking because you don't want to infuse the meat while you're cooking as well. That's just kind of an overkill on the flavor. But you could take the sauce after, use a little extra braising liquid. If it calls for a gallon, use a gallon and a half because you're going to lose a lot in evaporation. Then when you get done, reduce that sauce down after you take the meat out. Because I'll tell you what. So here's another thing, too. When you're everybody's out there going, oh, dude, man, I'm hungry right now.
Come on, man.
That's our goal.
Rosemary mashed
that's
potatoes.
That's our goal. Again, this is Chef Patrick Mosier. We're in the Reliable Bud Kitchen here on Purple Haze Radio. We got the guys from Cloud9 Meals. We got Brandon, Daniel, and Troy. They're doing a great job, something to really benefit the veterans. But so when you... when you're braising, right? I mean, you really can't mess it up. Just go low and slow, get a nice sear on it, and then just let it go and don't peek, right?
Yeah.
Give it 2-3 hours, and when it's fork tender, just take it out. But here's the key. I'm going to tell a chef secret, right? Mm-hmm. We all got secrets. Everybody says there's no secret, but let the meat cool in the liquid. Right,
yeah. Starts to soak it back up.
It does. So as it cools, you know, it goes. It doesn't literally soak it, but it does. It rehydrates the meat, right?
Yeah.
So then, the way that you do it later is you actually reheat them in the liquid, and then take them out and keep them warm, very slowly in the oven, and then you take that liquid and you reduce that into the sauce, and then that's what you infuse either with your oil or your tincture or your extract, right? I don't want to say tincture with your extract. You want something as pure as you can get, right?
Right.
So, and that way then you have a good way to measure what the dose is right there, because you now have a volume, and then you know what your how many milligrams of either extract or pure extract or oil you put in there. Now, look, oils can be kind of muddy, but in something like that, as long as you're not putting a whole 50 milligrams in there or something like that, I think you're okay with
it. And you could make the short ribs just as you normally would, and then when you're finishing it in the pan, you just take your pre-measured amount pat of butter or whatever fat that
finish
you want to do.
The sauce with the butter.
Stir it. Don't stop stirring it. Once it starts reducing and getting a little thick, you add the butter or whatever you're adding into it. Stir it like crazy for 2 minutes, and it will emulsify back into that sauce.
Hey, and if it doesn't, guys, so here's another trick.
Oh, yeah.
Turn the heat off and throw an ice cube in it.
Yeah.
Okay, reverse. As long as you haven't scorched it. The water, which is not you, which you would think wouldn't emulsify. I know he's over here. So Daniel's like,
there's many times where
he's over here scratching. It's like, damn it, dude, why are you telling all these secrets? You know why? Because they're
come
stoned.
On, man.
Because our listeners are stoned and they're going
to
forget.
Right. Yeah, that's true. They got to come back to it. Yeah.
All right. Take so, you know, so all the food and fun aside, you know, so I would like to, I would do scampi, or I love scampi done right.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love, I know it's not a real Italian dish, but Alfredo, if done right and not just overly buttered and creamed to death,
right,
can be really good. And you talked about making a can of, you know, can of cream.
Can of cream.
So now, do you just slowly, I mean, how do you reach the point for extraction without harming the cream? So what's the method for that?
Well,
because I have to tell you, I've seen it, but I've never made it.
Right. So you can use a double boiler. And for those who don't know what that means, it just means you take one pot.
It's not. No. So those that don't know, then it's called a bain-marie.
Bain-Marie.
Let's confuse them more.
Yeah, you just take a pot and then you
pot.
Yeah, you take a saucepan.
Sorry, I'm trying. It's like middle of the afternoon. I need a cocktail or a hit.
Tired.
So yeah, I am. It's like I was on a radio show at like 6 this morning. I woke up at 5:10.
Right.
So
yeah, you just take a sauce pot, fill it about halfway with water, and put literally anything made of metal on top of it, so that way when the bottom pan starts to steam, that steam rises up and gently warms whatever is on top. You can use a bowl or you can use another pan.
Yes, and a lot of the two-part pans that you get are like pasta boilers.
Right.
They'll have an insert for that, which allows you to cook in it without actually heat sauces and things without actually scorching it.
And it's just like a dummy-proof method. It doesn't allow you to get higher than 212. You ever take a couple degrees up above that. So you really can't mess it up.
So next time we have you in, we'll talk about the technical aspects of extraction and making sure you hit the right temperature and the right time and some other methods like that. I think we gave him enough recipe ideas today. But hey, let's talk a little bit more about Cloud 9 Meals. So Cloud 9 Meals, that's it. Cloud9meals.com. The website's kind of locked down right now, but if you get the right credentials, you contact Brandon Daniel or Brandon or Troy. I'm sure I'm going to leave Chef out of this. He can work on the food side.
We're going to open that website up.
Are you? Okay, cool.
Next week, so all your listeners can go to it next week.
And again, this is a great business model. They're working with medicinal cannabis with home delivered or possibly picked. We're not sure what the delivery method is, but home cooked meals for starting with veterans and medical cannabis patients that are infused to help give some natural relief for these ailments and aches and pains. Because I'm telling you, man, it's, you know, look, y'all have done your duty. You know, thank you. I'm not a vet. I have to tell you, thank you very much, Dan. Brandon. Troy, are you a vet?
Troy. Yeah. No, I'm not a vet.
Okay.
I'm a vet and smoking, but not but not a vet.
Smoking like a true Snoop, like a true Snoop fan right there. Can I tell you what? Hey, this is a great business model. I'll tell you that there are some great people in this industry that have done a lot for us. And I'll tell you, people like Snoop Dogg who've opened many doors and crossed many boundaries. I mean, look, co-branding yourself with Martha Stewart. There is no more brilliant pairing in the business world than those two right there. Two great minds. It's phenomenal. You know, what's been done and how far we've come in this industry. You know, again, so any last words about Cloud 9 Meals?
Yeah, we're going to, when you said Snoop Dogg, and it started to make me think of California, we're going to have an event in Malibu at the end of
first quarter next year,
nice.
2019.
Well, I'll be there. Absolutely.
Okay. We're definitely going to invite you there.
Guys, yeah. And I don't even need to make it, but there's an event coming up in Vegas also. There's a big convention coming up next month. So even if you're not there presenting, I always
come
tell
check
everything
it out.
Hey, this is Chef Patrick Mosier. We're here in the Reliable Bud Kitchen. We're at Purple Haze Radio. Hey, man, thanks for listening. Ciao for now. And yeah, we'll leave the rest for later.